what I have gathered, is a need that a lot of boaters wanted to see.
Skagway considers bringing back a harbor boat mechanic and why your adult beverage might taste like smoked salmon tonight. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. Bear sightings are part of everybody's Lynn Canal summer, but a lot of sightings over summer 2010 seem to be sows with multiples. Biologist Anthony Krupe from the Department of Fish and Game talks about bear survival on the Chilkoot River in Haines.
My experience has been on the Chilkoot River over the last 10 years of research. There's a pretty strong correlation between the number of cubs that are produced following the year of pink salmon abundance.
Last year, there were 34,000 spawning pinks counted through the weir on the Chilkoot. Given that number, Krupe says he would expect 10 cubs in the area this year.
So far, there's been three sows with three cubs and a sow with two cubs, so getting pretty close to what we'd expect for cub production in a small system along the Chilkoot.
Delayed implantation is a reproductive strategy used by around 100 different mammals, including local black and brown bears. In the process, an embryo remains in a state of dormancy, extending gestation periods to as much as a year. The method protects the mothers during unfavorable conditions, since reproduction has such high energy costs.
So typically, sows with multiple offspring, whether it's brown bears or black bears, is commonly tied to the food source and the health of the animal as she goes into the den. She has delayed implantation, and if she collects enough resources in the fall prior, then she has a better chance of raising her offspring to parturition.
Research conducted in other parts of Southeast Alaska show that female bears tend to have 2.5 cubs, while the Chilkoot falls just below that, averaging 2.25 cubs per sow.
We've had along the Chilkoot, every year there's about 3 to 4 sows with cubs. The number of cubs over the last 10 years has ranged anywhere from just a sow with one cub to as many as 14 cubs following a really high year of salmon abundance.
The state has not conducted extensive research on bears in the Lynn Canal. Instead, they rely on harvest statistics, which have shown a fairly stable population trend.
There's habitat models that predict about half a bear per 2 square miles, which leads us to believe that the population of bears, brown bears, in northern Lynn Canal is about 400. But it would take extensive mark recapture work to be able to ascertain a closer population estimate for northern Lynn Canal.
Krupe says about 50% of cubs survive through their first year of life. Another 50% make it to adulthood, estimates say. And an average of 1 in 8 cubs grows up to be a breeding adult.
Cub survival with females, there's often a belief that the big adult males pose a certain threat on offspring of cubs. To some degree, that is true. Other times, it's typically more related to the amount of food that a sow is able to get to produce enough milk for her cubs, who in this first phase of life are heavily dependent on milk from their mom, and then slowly start moving into catching fish on their own. Bears will predate on other bears. Is probably the most common predation on cubs, leading to their mortality. But probably all in all, it really depends on the habitat and the resource that they are able to get as they grow up.
Krupe says the Chilkoot's pink salmon run is comparable to last year's healthy numbers. He ends saying that might explain the especially exciting viewing and especially excited bear viewers along the Chilkoot River lately. Emily Deitch, Skagway's new borough clerk, began when Marge Harris retired at the end of the summer. Deitch had previously been with the borough since 2007 as accounts payable and receivable clerk.
There was a transition time where the new employees were sort of getting organized, and now we're sort of coming out of that, and I'm really enjoying the position. It's very interesting.
At Thursday night's regular assembly meeting, the borough considered reestablishing marine mechanic-related services in the small boat harbor. Services like that have not been available there for nearly 5 years. They are in nearby ports. Haines, Juneau, and Sitka, and Ringgl and Hoonah are making efforts in the same direction.
They're looking at doing marine repair services on site at the harbor and having an area dedicated to just that. From what I have gathered is a need that a lot of boaters wanted to see. That was the one thing that was keeping some people away, was that there wasn't anywhere to repair their boat.
One pitch for providing the service came from former Skagway resident Roger Griffin. The document suggests providing electrical, mechanical, and hull repair, as well as aluminum welding and minor steel and aluminum fabrication. The letter from Griffin also noted interest in purchasing the hydraulic haul-out trailer and leasing up to 2/3 of the staging area. It also proposed taking over and upgrading boat storage. According to procedure, the borough would need to acquire other estimates before making any deals, but before that can happen, the Harbor Committee must offer its proposal to the Assembly.
So they did discuss it. They had a work session. And I guess Mr. Griffin is working with our Harbor Master to come up with more specifics and sort of a plan of action. But there's no action on the part of the Assembly right now. And the committee is sort of pursuing it and hammering things out.
The Assembly could consider a proposal from the Harbor Committee as soon as the first regular meeting in October. In the meantime, the committee and Harbor Master Matt O'Boyle are researching, working with Griffin, and responding to Assembly questions about the idea.
Some of the Assembly members did have questions, such as, what if someone doesn't want to use him to repair the boat? You know, is there going to be a space to just be able to repair your own boat? And those sort of questions, and they want the committee to hammer those out and then bring it back to the table.
Currently, boat owners have the option of making their own repairs. Other boat owners take their vessels to Whitehorse, Canal Marine in Haines, or fly parts in from Juneau. In other Skagway Harbor news, the borough is making an offer in the amount of $170,000 to settle a claim by builders of the new wave barrier in the harbor. The wave barrier was built by Pacific Pile and Marine last winter based on a design by P&D engineers in Juneau. The company believed they were unduly delayed in their construction of the wave barrier, leading to the claim against the borough. The borough was never in litigation over the matter, but worked with legal counsel Bob Blasco with Juneau's Hoffman, Silver, Gilman, and Blasco firm to make Thursday's decision.
They made a motion to direct the manager to make an offer to settle the Pacific Pile and Marine claim with $170,000.
Alaska-made smoked salmon vodka is seeing a big spike in sales, but in the lower 48. Locally, people still aren't sure what to do with a liquor that kind of resembles one of the Panhandle's most popular tastes. Carl Klupar is owner of the historic Skagway Inn. He talks about why he's one of the few locations in the Northern Lynn Canal to carry the strange variety.
It was a product that's made in Alaska, and I've seen it on the shelf at the Alaska liquor store and thought that that would be a good thing to try to see if it was any good.
Klupar admits he hasn't tasted the stuff himself, but says the Inn's Bistro has served the vodka for about a month now.
It's got a really good response to it. It's an odd flavor, so you don't, just people just don't order it as is, but it is very popular as a Bloody Mary, and that's pretty much how it's served.
Actually, a Bloody Mary seems to be the only idea anyone has for serving the flavor. The company also suggests cold with cheese.
We started with that, and that's pretty good by itself. And Bloody Mary is a popular drink, especially in the morning, and we get a pretty good call for it.
The company is based in Wasilla and distills their product using glacial ice from Prince William Sound. They were first known for their original vodka called Permafrost, but for an Alaska-made product, the new beverage was not easy to get, says Klupar.
It was very difficult to get. I had an interesting conversation with the owner of the company because I was trying to get it through the distributor, and the distributor wasn't able to get it, and Robert had left the liquor store, the same problem. And then all of a sudden we had one available, and then it showed up on one of the national morning shows, and then all of a sudden it was out of stock again.
Down in the lower 48, on the other hand, the company has managed to secure orders in 9 new states. They've also quietly launched 4 more vodka flavors, including a birch syrup one, which Klupar says he'll drink to.
No, we'll out and try that. Now, that one has some ideas to go in coffee and espresso drinks, and so when we get our hands in that, we're going to start experimenting.
Reporting for KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell. What is news to you? If you have a story idea, email news@khns.org. There is evidence that people are willing to change their lives if it'll help curb global warming, but most theories of human behavior are based on the idea that people act only in their self-interest. Are we sure that's true? Alaskan Charles Wolforth's new book challenges that assumption and suggests that people might, just might, be willing to rescue the Earth. We'll hear more on the next Talk of Alaska, Tuesday at 10 from APRN on KHNS.